shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the days of our lives.
Let's go! Let's go!
It is Friday, the 11th of December, 2020, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from an undisclosed location somewhere on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. On the program today, we got a couple of special theater projects to tell you about. First Metro Theatre is straying from their traditional Christmas panto this year and bringing us a radio play version of Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Then we'll talk about Bush Theatre Collective, who are working to bridge the Canadian language divide by creating English translations of Francophone plays, one of which is being presented this weekend by Western Gold Theatre. It's the Radio for Shut-Ins version of Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theatre, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial.
All men are responsible for themselves and themselves only. That is science. The strong survive, and as such, the fittest prosper.
Let us see about that.
A wash of Waits New whips Scrooge and the spirit up from their perch and brought them both down again upon the threshold to the door of some tumble-down tenement.
She placed her hand upon Scrooge and tapped her torch upon the door. Scrooge watched in awe as the giantess grew, or rather ungrew, smaller and smaller, until the Scrooge and the spirit of Christmas present both could pass through the door.
And into the home of Bob Cratchit.
Peter Cratchit, get those fingers out of the saucepan. Those potatoes are each one proportioned, and you'll mix me mass if you eat one now. Mrs. Cratchit tightened the strings of her apron as she wiped the sweat from her brow. She glistened as she gathered the goose for the Christmas feast.
Mother, I was only checking to see if they were ready to make myself useful.
Useful? Well, then you should have been home on time. I had to send poor Tim to fetch your father from the office.
We'd a great deal of work to finish up last night and had to clear away this morning. An extra tuppence they gave me for the efforts.
He took the coins and placed them inside his mother's apron.
Well, never mind, so long as you are come. Now sit ye down and have a warm, Lord bless ye.
Mrs. Cratchit gave him a good 12 kisses upon the head with the fish's seal.
Well, that was a moment from Dickens' A Christmas Carol, adapted as a radio play by Eric Gow and presented by Metro Theatre under the direction of Chris Adams. Every Christmas for the past 3.5 decades, Metro has produced a traditional English pantomime for their holiday family entertainment. But this year, because the theatre's closed because of the pandemic, that tradition had to be suspended. In its place, they've come up with an original approach to the classic Christmas ghost story, starring the distinguished David Adams as Ebenezer Scrooge. Recently, I had the pleasure of talking with Chris, David, and Eric. So I want to start with Chris.
Okay.
Let's start by talking about Metro. How did your involvement with Metro get started?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I did my first Metro show when I was a teenager in high school back in 2005. We did Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
And that's how I first got to know them. When I got out of university and I graduated from UVic in 2010, And I came back home, and my first show back was a Metro Theater panto. So I started the panto tradition back in 2010. Uh-huh. I'd been a big fan of pantos for many years. I used to go with my grandparents and my parents to New West, usually, to the Burr Theater to see mm-hmm. their pantos when I was a kid. And so that's where the sort of Christmas tradition started. I then came back to do the panto again in 2015. And then in 2017, I got an email saying they were looking for a director for the panto. Uh-huh. And I submitted for that and interviewed for that. And I started in 2018 with King Arthur. Brought a wonderful team of Eric Gow in for the next year, which was Alice in Wonderland in 2019. And then Eric and I were all set to do Snow White for this Christmas. We were going to mm-hmm. do the Snow White panto that Eric was going to write. And, of course, COVID took that away. So we had to pivot.
So the King Arthur one was the first one you directed, is that right?
That was the first one I directed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And tell me a little bit about that experience, like, you know, directing a panto for the first time. Why did you agree to take that on?
That's a great question. And I remember asking...
That's two great questions.
Okay.
You're batting 1,000, David.
Yeah. I remember it took a little bit of talking and figuring out if it's something I wanted to do. I was starting to get more into directing and directing more shows. I'd assisted a few things and started directing. And I just thought I could do it well. Yeah. And in not a negative way to the Metro at all, but I thought I could do it better. Mm-hmm. You know, a bit of ego comes into it, and
We all feel that way, you know. Even something that's been long standing, you watch and you go, "Yeah, that's good," but
yeah,
you know, I've got some ideas too.
And I've always said in every show I've ever either produced or directed, I'm not interested in doing the same thing every year.
Yeah,
right. I want to get better every year. I want the show to be better. I want to get better. Everything has to move up every year. And I saw potential for that in the panto. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I thought King Arthur was great. We did a great job with it. But I came to it, you know, I think we closed December 4th, and then on December 12th, I had a meeting with the Metro and said, okay, this is how we do things better next year.
Yeah.
And then we did Alice, which I thought was fantastic. And then same thing, Eric and I went to a meeting pretty much right after and went, okay, this is what we can do better.
Right.
Right? This is how we can attack it and work even harder on it.
Exactly.
So I'm not interested in the status quo. Mm-hmm. I would like to just keep growing and keep making things better. So
yeah.
So I think the challenge is really what I liked about it. That's really it.
Cool. Well, let me bring Eric in. So this year you're doing, you know, because of the restrictions and stuff, you decided to go with a radio play version of A Christmas Carol. So tell me a little bit about the reason why you chose that format.
Well, right now, as we're all aware, singing and dancing, just singing is kind of the most dangerous thing you can do right now in civilized society. So we needed to think of something that the audience could come to that was familiar, that would bring them back into the theaters. The Metro has been doing wonderful jobs at keeping things safe. They've been following so many guidelines, restrictions. Audience and cast safety has been such a priority that Chris and I, in our discussions, wanted to make sure that there would be a way that we could create a show that would have that same care for the actors, the crew, and for the entire artistic team as well. So in terms of thinking of what mediums we could do that in, we went back to very original style storytelling, which is sitting around and telling a story to each other. And mm-hmm. I think especially this time of year, it's such a magical thing to bring in terms of a tradition that we can all connect to and that we can all tap into. So we were looking into what Christmas stories resonated with us. And of course, we came to really the most classic of Christmas tales, which is A Christmas Carol. And we talked about designing a show that all of the actors can be socially distant while they do it, that we can keep them all in their own stations. Even if there's a prop that is shared between actors, they have one at their station, there's one at the other, and there's a sort of choreographed passing off of that that happens. For the audience, whether they're watching it in person or if they're going to watch it at home, online, there's an experience for both of those as well. Though it is a audio drama, you still get to watch it. There are visuals, there are costumes, there's beautiful lighting, there's effects, there are all of these things that happen, and you can watch it and still get the same satisfaction of going and seeing a show, but listening to it. I grew up on radio dramas. I used to listen to Rock 101 when they'd play all the old radio plays. In terms of BBC radio dramas, I've always really enjoyed storytelling. And for me, it was a really exciting opportunity. It wasn't anything that came with any strings or was a drawback in any way. Where I feel like a lot of things right now, it feels like we're working with our hands tied behind our back. But we really get to hit the ground running with this production and make something that would be exciting and vibrant regardless of what's happening in the world.
And it's kind of a timely coincidence that the radio play format is something that has been resurging in live theater for like the last decade. So it's sort of coming together that it's a great format to use in under these circumstances, where it can work as a live live in-person event, but it also works on the streaming as well.
Absolutely. And the CBC has had radio dramas for years, and that's something that is sort of in our tradition of Canadian theater, dramatic culture, as well as podcasting. And that's really been amazing, because the idea of audio drama, the entire medium is being brought into the hands of everyone. If you have an idea for a story, the technology is available, where that wasn't always the case, that you can tell these stories with friends. You can tell these stories. You can talk about the things that you love. And especially when it comes to podcasting as well, is everyone gets to share their love, and you can find basically any subject or any idea, and you can listen to a podcast in multiple episodics and find really anything to your heart's content.
Marvelous. Well, speaking of sharing and love, your main character is Ebenezer Scrooge, played by the great David Adams, who is also with us. Hello, David.
Hello.
So tell me about playing Scrooge. Is that a character you've done before?
Yeah, I love the story. Of course, as Eric said, the story is such it's a part of our social fabric. And as an actor, a Canadian actor, I've played every male part in A Christmas Carol, musical versions, radio drama versions, reading versions, live versions. The only character I haven't played is Tiny Tim. So, getting to play Scrooge is such a great it's a great challenge as an actor, because you've got to go. You've got such a range. You know, you start out by being this, irascible, curmudgeon with the bah humbugs, and then by the end, he's dancing up and down. I'm merry as a schoolboy. So everything in between, and so that emotional journey, I always jump at the opportunity. As you can hear from the two young guys I'm with, they both inspire me, because, you know, being an old timer in the business, I think this whole pandemic has really given the community a chance to really look at ourselves. What are we doing? And as Eric said, we're storytellers, but how we do it. And of course, this is a different way of doing it, you know, where We love the audio. I've always loved radio drama. But here's a chance to do it with costumes and set and lights and really get into the emotional journey. I think we've managed to do that. So it's a real pleasure to work with these guys who are so passionate about the theater. Of course, that gives me hope for the future. So,
yeah, actually, you know, it is kind of, it didn't even occur to me, but it is kind of a timely story to be telling at these times, because it's really all about looking after each other. And that's what we really need to be doing right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I did a little thing for the food bank. On Friday, I did a little thing for the food bank. And yeah, just finding I know Jesus said, with the poor you will always have with you. Yeah. But it just seems like such a shame in such a great country as Canada that we still have people who have trouble putting food on the table and you know, buying gifts for their loved ones, you know. So I think, yeah, it's a good time of the year to re-energize our humanity.
Tell me a little bit about some of the other actors that you're working with.
Well, it's great. The youngest is Scotia Browner. She's a young lady who's playing Tiny Tim amongst a few other characters. And I've known her since she was like 6 years old. She's a real force in the performing arts, that one. She's been in lots of shows. And I think my first time working with her was the Royal City Youth Ballet's Nutcracker. She was one of the little dancers, and I got to play Drosselmeyer for a few seasons. There is Jill, who is she's from Newcastle. She's a wonderful actor and brings a lot of life to the female characters. We got a young actor who's in the middle of her final few semesters at NYU, getting her degree as a performing artist. She's also plays a lot of the young characters. We had one of our characters got sick, actually, Chris Ward. So one of the hardest working people in showbiz, I call her, because she's she's such a hard worker, is Courtney, and I can't remember Courtney's last name right now. Courtney Shields, lovely young lady that I've worked with a few times over the years. And so, you know, it's great for me. I love working with young people because I feel a bit vampiric. I'm sucking up a lot of that young energy, you know. It keeps me vibrant and young. And then just to keep me company, Roger Monk, who is the other old-timer in the show, we get to commiserate about how it's hard going up and down the stairs, and you know all the things that because you know at the Metro they've got this circular staircase that goes up to the dressing room, and of course
who's ever worked at Metro has fond memories of that staircase.
Yeah, I'd forgotten. It's been a long time since I've been on those stairs, and I was like, oh yeah, well it's a lot different now, 35 years later.
Yeah, so. You're not bounding up it anymore.
No.
I think we've got a pretty good good package. Does anyone else have anything else they wanted to contribute before I officially shut it down?
I think I'd love to just quickly talk about how something Eric spoke quickly about, which was we are offering a digital stream of the show on Metro's website. If there's those who don't feel comfortable, you know, attending the theater or immunocompromised or for whatever reason, with a donation of any size to the Metro, mm-hmm. you can get access to the digital stream. So
oh, wonderful.
It's free, could be free, if you can't afford it. If you can afford it, and you'd like to make a donation, then you can do that at Metro's website. December 21st is when the digital stream will go live on the website and run till our closing, which is January 3rd. Mm-hmm. We sure hope we get to present the show live.
That's still up in the air, isn't it? Right now the closure is expires on the 7th, but this is going to be aired on Friday the 11th. So by then, the listener will have known what your future is, but you don't know right now.
That is,
I mean,
correct.
you're still going to present it and stream it regardless, but
correct,
you're not.
Yeah.
We still don't know for sure whether you're going to be able to do it on stage.
We sure That's hope correct. We do, because, yeah. You know, it's, I tell you, it's one of the things for me also, getting back in front of the theater, even though there wasn't anybody there, it was a very moving experience. It's shocking, you know, how it just gets right in your soul. You mm-hmm. know, and you go, oh yeah, this is right. This is what I do.
Yeah. There's something about that feeling of standing in an empty theater. Especially sort of a classic proscenium theater like the Metro is, that just standing on that stage and looking at those empty seats, there's something that happens to you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's for sure. Yeah. So we can only hope that next week we'll have a few live bodies out there.
Yeah.
All socially distanced, of course.
Of course. Yeah. I can't emphasize that enough. You know, that's sort of the frustrating thing, is that the theater community is doing a really good job at keeping the audience safe. And
yes,
and they having, are. I think so
having
too.
To be
yeah.
forced to close is it's a bit of an unfortunate turn, but
yeah. But you know, we all have to do what we have to do. It takes sacrifice on everyone's part, mm-hmm. I think. So
Eric, we haven't heard from you for a bit. Do you have any more last thoughts?
The last thoughts I'll leave is talking a little bit about the play, in the sense that it's a classic, but we've also made some changes to it. We've adapted in a way that I think will really reflect a lot of what's going on in a modern sense. Being such a classic story, it's something that I love, and it's one of those tricky things where you look at something and you go, do we change it? Do we adapt it? How do we make it relevant today? And I think what we've done is we've really imbued the relevance into it. So even if you are a diehard Christmas Carol Dickens fan, it is the language you love. We have taken the words of Charles Dickens. But if you think you've seen A Christmas Carol, you have not seen this Christmas Carol. There are things that have been changed, more than just the language. We've adapted some of the structure. We've looked at it, especially in a time where seasonally we talk about giving, and we all understand those ideas of A Christmas Carol. We also look at that idea of redemption and what it is to make amends for the things you've done. And for me, that's something I'm really excited about. And so thankful to have an actor like David in the show who can make such a well-rounded Scrooge and really bring this character into a light that you have not seen Scrooge in before.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Perfect.
Thank you. After I called Eric and he said, yeah, I could write it, I then emailed David and said, we've got this idea. Are you in? Can I pitch you? Are we part? And David went, absolutely. And I took it. So I wanted to make sure I had these two with me to do this.
Great. Well, you know, I jumped at the opportunity because of these two young men. Because Chris and I have been looking for a chance to get together and work, and we haven't found it yet. So this was a good chance to start a fruitful relationship.
A Christmas Carol, the radio play, is scheduled to start this weekend and runs until the 3rd of January. If you want to find out more, how to get tickets, and how to arrange the live stream, you can go to metrotheater.com.
We used to have so much to say, stealing little kisses on the dog. to prevent the spread of coronavirus 2019, or COVID-19, social distancing and self-isolation measures have been recommended. Here are some tips for managing your mental health while working from home, in self-isolation, quarantined, having to be home due to loss of employment, or just having to be home more than usual, according to @counselingforallseasons on Instagram. Try to create a structure or routine for your day. Structure helps us feel a sense of normalcy and control, and this is especially important during a time with a lot of unknowns. Routines do not have to be about productivity. Take a nap, go for a walk, or read a book. Remember to have regular meals and hydrate. This can add to a regular routine, and both of these can contribute to mood changes. If it's possible, get outside. If it's possible, get outside or open your windows. Fresh air and natural light can be beneficial to mental health. Don't be afraid to go outside. Just make sure you're observing basic social distancing. Stick to a sleep routine. Both lack of sleep and excess sleep can increase anxiety and depression. Keep up with personal hygiene and chores. Skipping personal hygiene routines can affect our moods, so try to shower, etc., even though you're not going out. Keeping your space tidy and clean can help with mental health, but it'll also contribute to preventing the spread of COVID-19. It's two birds, one stone. Remember to connect with loved ones. We might not be able to see people face to face, but that doesn't mean that those relationships are any less meaningful or important. Connection is vital to our mental health, especially in times that can feel full of despair.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
one thing about being a Canadian, living in a country with two official languages, most of us are only familiar with one, the one I'm speaking right now. And that's a shame, because that other language is used in the creation of music, film, theater, and other art that those of us who use this language spend our lives being mostly unaware of. The Bush Theater Collective is working to change that. Since 2012, Bush has been bringing artists and audiences together with a specific focus on the cross-pollination between Canadian Francophone and Anglophone artists and the international community. Their next project is a workshop of Jack Patterson's translation of The Ballad of Georges Bovin by Martin Belmare, which is being presented by Western Gold Theatre on Sunday afternoon. I spoke with Jack Patterson about the workshop and what the Bush Theatre Collective is all about.
So Bush Theatre Collective, we formed in 2012 in Vancouver. Our focus is primarily being a bridge. We're a bridge between languages. We're a bridge between cultures. We're a bridge between distance.
Right.
For organizations that are working from distances. So we, our intention is to create pathways for artists who would not normally be able to work together and to be able to come together in a cross-cultural collaboration. Sort of hard to describe, but what we've been doing is sort of these different creators and collaborators have been coming together, and we've been passing an idea from group to group. And in my travels, I stumbled across, I didn't stumble across, I ended up in Montreal a couple times and discovered the Francophone Canadian Theater, which it's amazing. I mean, I'm not sure that in Canada we're aware of the, whether it's on English or the Francophone side, of some of the artists we have and the work they're doing.
Yeah, and just Francophone theater and music and literature, like the whole culture is just so separate from the rest of the country. You know, I myself personally, I'm aware of what's going on in more of what's going on in Newfoundland and in Saskatchewan than I ever am of what's going on in Quebec and in the French language.
Well, and there's a question as to, you know, why is that? Is it purely lingual? Is it historic animosity? Is it that the Francophone cultures seems to, or within the arts is perhaps more European in its perspective or how it goes about things? Like these are internationally known artists. The work that is being generated by Quebecois playwrights and Quebecois theater members is internationally renowned. It is, you know, top tier, top of the game, ahead of the curve, within the non-English language market. So that's rubbing up against the Germans and the Europeans and the Russians and everybody else. And we seem to forget that here we have, you know, some truly remarkable, amazing artists, bringing uniquely Canadian work and uniquely Canadian perspectives that cannot be found in other cultures, and practices that cannot be found that I haven't found in any other culture, in other cultures, And then we just don't have access to them in English language.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a frustration.
So the translation project was sort of born out of this need to expose the rest of the country to this work.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's exactly that. It's how do we bring artists together in conversation? Yeah. The joys of translation is, I mean, for folks like me who translate, it's you know, you get this opportunity to sort of swim in another's culture, and you know it's not yours, you don't own it or anything, but you do get a chance to experience it.
Well, let's bring it into the show that we're going to see on Sunday then, the Ballad of Georges Bovin. So this is when you yourself are translating.
Well, what's beautiful about this piece, so we're in partnership with Western Gold Theater on this, and Western Gold Theater was very generous in supporting the translation. We had our first workshop this morning, with Jay Brazeau and John Ennis. What's mm-hmm. what's beautiful about this piece, and especially right now, is it's an older story, or it's a story of senior characters, or senior mm-hmm. senior people, and the story of a man named Georges who wakes up. He's 77. His wife passed away last year, and he wakes up one morning, and he spent the night dreaming of his first girl, right? Mm. And he goes first love of his life. And he wakes up one morning and he goes, that's it. And he gets in a car and he gets three of his buddies. And they drive from Montreal towards Vancouver. I'm not going to say whether they get there or not.
They just head west.
They head west.
Yeah.
In search of, in search of his first love. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have her phone number. He has an address that is 50 years old. And the piece is as much a journey for Georges, as much as it's a physical journey across the country, or right. this quest to find meaning or purpose, through someone else. But it's as much a journey of him back to his wife, to Jolene Pommette, who's just passed. It's gorgeous.
It sounds very sweet.
Doing a piece, it's just beautiful. And then Martin won there's a reason why Martin won, or didn't win, but was nominated for the Simonovich this year. He's just a beautifully insightful and creative writer. Yeah. So within this piece, and this is stuff I'm still working on. I can't guarantee that it'll be done by, that I'll have it fixed and perfect by Sunday. We get this from reading the text, but you feel his journey, and it sort of bounces between times. There's the present, there's the past, there's the, what is the future? His big question, what is the future? And as much the piece itself, as much as a search for meaning as the character is going through. Mm-hmm. And it's such a, to be honest, to be working on a piece right now with artists like Jay and John, who are in their 70s, about someone in their 70s, especially during times of COVID, where I think we've seen, as a society, we struggle with ageism to start with. Mm-hmm. In times of COVID, the folks that are most impacted by this and the most isolated by this, to be able to provide both space and voice and bring some artists together, is in itself, that's just the gift is done. My job's done. I'm happy. But then to have these conversations about, how do you imagine a future when the future is unimaginable? How do you, what happens when you are seen one way and you are something else on the inside, which is not just a story of seniors or, something that we all go through to various, levels. One of the other elements of this is that we're trying to engage people in the translation process. So what this is not final product. This is, we've brought the artists together. We're reading the text. Where it's a bit, I describe it as there's a rehearsal hall on Granville Island, at Carousel Theater, where if you wind up the blinds, suddenly there's children's faces sort of pressed up against it. It's fantastic. And there they are watching the process, and the process is as exciting and as interesting. And that's where we're going on this. We're winding up we're not in a position to do full production. What we are in a position to do is go, this is where we are. Come participate with us and help take us to the next step.
Yeah. The Ballad of Georges Boivin
by Martin Belmer, translated by Jack Patterson, and featuring John Innes and Jay Brazeau, can be heard as a live stream on Sunday, the 13th at 12 noon Pacific time. It's a free event that you can access by going to plaything.ca.
The world is a better place because of Kim Kardashian's empire,
Cheetos,
fleece material,
and Discorder.
It's a local independent music magazine from CITR.
Which means that we can print whatever we heckin' want.
Album and live show reviews, interviews with artists, and sweet illustrations grace our pages.
And even you, listener, can contribute.
Just visit CITR.ca/Discorder/contribute.
You can grab it around town or read it at Discorder.ca.
Forever local and forever free.
life support star. I see through a screen. I can look, but I can't touch. Call me a creep. I've said too much. I'm a tear off my shirt. They'll call me a cheese, but life support star. I see through a screen. I can look, but I can't touch. Call me a creep. I've said too much. Bang in the room.
So that's our show. Thanks for spending a lunch hour with us. Music today was by Lauren Porter, Madeline Reed, Rat Silo, and Fionn. And you can look for Madeline Reed's How Easy on Spotify, SoundCloud, and at madelinereed.com. Remember, if you want to keep in the know about theater happenings and not happenings in these wacky times, check out TheaterWire, createastir.ca, Colin Thomas's Fresh Sheet, and listen to The Arts Report every Wednesday at 5 o'clock right here on CITR. If you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, you can search out our podcast archive at citr.ca. You can also find us on player.fm. And remember to like, share, and subscribe because Sharon deserves it. Stick around. Audrey's up next with Too Dreamy, followed by Bepi Crespin at 2, and our very own star on the BC Entertainment Walk of Fame, Nardwuar the Human Serviette at 3:30. Dave Radio will return next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You are listening to CITR FM 101.9, Vancouver.
This is not love. I just wanna get fucked. I don't know why you lead me on and flirt with countless other guys. If this is